Again, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Such a great day today. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but if you don't, you should. I'm really excited to get to see everybody. I'm also really excited because right now we get to welcome our little ones, all the kiddos. You guys get to join your teacher in the back. And it is going to be a great time. You guys are going to have the opportunity to learn and grow and be blessed. And I am just ecstatic. I know I say this pretty often, but I love the fact that we have volunteers right here at this church that are willing to sacrifice of their time, willing to sacrifice of their knowledge to be able to share and teach the scriptures in a way that our kids in this church can understand what's going on in a way that makes sense to them. So that they can be encouraged themselves. Look, I know the volunteers, if you are here this morning and you are one of the volunteers that works in the kids' ministries, specifically, you guys are giving of your time during the week, and that is just such a blessing to this church, and it's a blessing to those kids. If you're not part of the kids' ministry, if you're not part of any particular ministry right now, then I want to encourage you to step into some sort of ministry, because there are amazing things that happen here all through the week as well as on the weekends, and serving is one of those things that we are encouraged by when we serve, but we also get to encourage others when we serve them. And so serving is just an amazing thing. So if you're interested in talking about that, then just reach out and let's have a conversation and kind of figure out where is the best place for you to serve. You know, actually, while we're talking about serving, do you realize, actually, real quick, I want to welcome those of you that are joining us online. I want to thank you for coming and finding us this morning or this afternoon, this evening, whatever it is that you're listening. And we just want to welcome you into our extended spiritual family today. And we hope that you are blessed. And if you are in Ogle County, then we want to encourage you, if you're not part of a local church, to come and join us any Sunday morning, 9:30 in the morning. We've got fantastic coffee. We've got comfortable chairs. And we have the nicest people in Ogle County that you will encounter. So I just want to encourage you to come on out and be a part of our physical spiritual family right here. You will be so blessed. While we're talking about serving, though, do you guys realize, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, but did you guys realize that serving, when you serve other people, when you serve the Lord, that actually requires trust? Like, it's not just, okay, I'm going to do the thing that I already know how to do. But when you serve, that actually requires you to trust, right? Because you're trusting a few things, right? You're trusting that your time will be received well, that whatever it is that you've prepared for, whatever it is that you're doing, that it's going to be received well. You're trusting that the Lord will be able to use you in whatever your particular circumstances are. As you serve, you're trusting that the Lord can use that. And you're trusting also that your resources will not be completely depleted, whether that's time, financial, intellectual, whatever it is, that the Lord is going to use your resources and give you the things that you need to do in order to accomplish the task that the Lord has given you. And you're also trusting that, well, listen, if you are a teacher especially, but if you serve in any particular capacity, you know that sometimes situations happen. And when you are serving, you are trusting that the Lord will give you the wisdom, the knowledge, the ability to be able to deal with whatever those situations may be in real time, like to be able to function. And you're really just trusting the Lord, and you're trusting that God is going to provide for you, right? And it's really a cool thing to think about, especially because we are in the very middle of this series called Trust in All Things. Okay, now this is important. Because we, a lot of times, we'll say, I'm just going to say this out front, we'll say things like, I trust God, and then go on and do things our own way, right? Like we'll, all the time, we do this, we all do this, we say things like, yeah, I trust God in everything, while completely leaving God out of the equation in real time, and just as you focus. And so we started this last week, and we saw that there's actually promises from God, and we saw that there's commands from God, and we know that throughout Scripture. We know that sometimes God tells us to do things, and sometimes God promises us things. And so, last week I asked the question, am I willing to trust God in everything? Am I willing to trust God in everything? And that can be a pretty scary question. That can be a pretty intense question to think about, because the thing is, I asked you to actually think about it, not just give a blanket, well, of course I trust God and everything, but I asked you to actually begin to process and begin to think about this question of, do I trust God in everything? Because that includes, let me just be clear, that includes our jobs, that includes our finances, that includes our family relationships, that includes being here within this church and the relationships that you have here. That's everything. Do I trust God in everything? And basically what we saw last week is that if I do trust God in everything, if I do actually put my trust in God in everything, then I will have God's peace. Then God's peace will come upon me, and I will be able to experience God's peace. And I will do well. I will do well. I will be able to deal with the situations as they arise. I'll be able to function as a follower of Christ. And today we're going to be reminded, as we continue through this series, we're going to be reminded about where to trust and where not to trust. Like specifically, there's some things that we should just not trust in at all. So we're going to look at. So let's take a look at this passage today. We're in Proverbs chapter 3. And last week we looked at Proverbs 3 verses 1 through 4. And so this week we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. I'm going to ask you to follow along either on the screen, on your own Bible, in the Bible app, wherever it is that you are most comfortable. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So this morning, right in the beginning, right off, I think that we should understand, I think we can see that we should trust God and not myself. And any of you that have had any experience in failing at something, you can realize that maybe you shouldn't be the one to trust in yourself all the time. I know from my perspective, I fail more than once a day. Maybe more than some of you that know me are like, Billy, you fail every minute of every day. And that's okay. It's true. But there's someone else that we can trust in that never fails, and that's the Lord, right? And so we can see that we should trust God and not myself. It's really important to think about when you think about what's going on in your own life. Listen, this morning as we prayed, we have a prayer meeting every Sunday morning with a few of the guys, the elders. And as we prayed this morning, we kind of contemplate, we think about, we pray about the fact that every single person in this room this morning, every single person online is going through a different situation. Everybody has their own unique circumstances that you're dealing with right now. And so it's important to think about that we begin to think about trusting God and not ourselves, because you do have situations that you're dealing with. And some of those situations, some of those circumstances can be scary. They can be intense. They can feel like it's just too much to handle. And so that's why it's important to trust the Lord and not yourself, to trust in God's will and not your own understanding of things, right? Because a lot of times we don't have all the facts. A lot of times we don't actually understand the situation. But the Lord, somehow, God is actually overseeing all of these things. And in order to understand that concept of trusting the Lord, I want to take a moment and think about my own understanding of things, right? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So let's take a second and think about what does it mean to think on or to lean on my own understanding of things. This is something that the author, Solomon, he's the guy that wrote this book, Solomon writes about in this passage, but it's something we see elsewhere in Scripture too. So let's take a second and let's look at my understanding. My understanding. What is my understanding have to do with anything? Well, if we're honest, we typically rely on our own understandings in any particular given situation, right? And whatever you're dealing with, your first inclination typically is to rely on your understanding of how things work. We see in this passage that the author here is putting in view all of our decisions not just the big stuff, but all of our decisions and how they relate to God. Specifically, this passage is speaking of your thoughts, your understanding, your knowledge, and ultimately your own wisdom. As humans, we have our own wisdom, right? And in order to think about that, we really need to know what we're even talking about. Like, what does it mean when he talks about your own understanding? What does that mean? So in verse 5, we see this term understanding. And I want to put a little bit of a spin, not really a spin, but an understanding of this word from the original language. This word understanding means intelligence, your own intelligence. Don't lean on your own intelligence. Don't lean on your own understanding. So if this term is referring to our own intelligence, then it would seem that we are being warned against pure, just plain academic knowledge, just knowing things. Another way to say that is that we are being warned against intellectual pride. Intellectual pride. Intellectual pride is when we are learning, which is a good thing, we should be learning, but when we're learning and we're growing to the point that we feel, and this is important, that we feel we don't need to actually rely on the Lord anymore. Maybe it's for a particular situation. Maybe your response would be something like, well, I don't need to rely on the Lord for this because I already know everything about this. That's intellectual pride. Let me explain this a little bit more. It would be attempting to learn outside of the knowledge of God. Attempting to learn things by divorcing the idea of God and the reality of God completely from the situation that you're trying to learn about. For example, this would be somebody that's studying about the origins of the universe. This is just the most clear example. Studying about the origins of the universe while attempting to remove the potential of God. Listen, did you know that all science actually proves the existence of a creator? This idea that Christians are just ignorant people because we don't believe science is untrue. Anyone that says that I don't believe in a God because there is no such thing as a creator because science has disproven that is lying. Or they just don't know. But when you research all legitimate scientists, and I'm talking about non-Christian scientists, will say, yes, there was a creator. That's just the reality of the world that we live in. But when we attempt to learn about the origins of the universe by removing the potential of God, that's called intellectual pride. That's me saying, I can learn about this, I can know all about this, and God doesn't have to have anything to do with it. This can also appear in our relationship with the Lord. And this is maybe somewhere where it hits home a little bit more for most of us, for the average person, right? And here's what this sounds like. I don't really need to go to church anymore because I'm already spiritually mature. I don't really need to attend church. I already know the things. I don't really need to go to a Bible study anymore because I already know everything that's in the Bible, so I don't really need to do these things. Listen, we laugh, but I've legitimately heard people tell me these things. These are real-world conversations that I've had with people. You see, intellectual pride, well, really, any pride, as in magnifying yourself, any pride is sin. Pride, let me just be very clear, pride, magnifying yourself, is sin. And if it's something that we're experiencing, then we need to repent of that. So if this passage is warning us against intellectual pride, then what's the opposite of pride? Humility. So here's a phrase I just want to challenge you with. Don't allow yourself to rely on your intellectual pride. Instead, grow in your intellectual humility. Don't allow yourself to rely on your intellectual pride. Instead, grow in your intellectual humility. Being willing to learn new information, whether it's about your field of study and your field of business, or whether it's about your knowledge with the Lord. Being willing to learn new information. Now, I want to bring a passage early in Proverbs. Arguably, this passage is the key to the entire book of Proverbs, okay? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In this passage, in this Proverbs 1, 7, we can see where knowledge actually begins. We can see where it starts. The fear of the Lord, or better understand for us maybe today, the submission to the Lord. Submission to the Lord. In other words, your knowledge comes from the Lord. Your knowledge comes from the Lord, which by definition means that you should rely on the Lord for wisdom or knowledge. That takes us to another aspect of my own understanding, and that would be my wisdom. My wisdom. I'm a smart guy. I'm a wise guy. My wisdom is a pretty good wisdom. Maybe you should listen to my wisdom. What does this passage say about my wisdom? Well, specifically in verse 7, we see that we should not be wise in our own eyes. That we should not be wise in our own eyes. What does that mean? Well, it's a continuation of the same concept of this intellectual pride. Maybe an easier way to understand this would be this. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't be impressed with your own... Now, I want to be clear. Because in this passage... This passage is not saying that Christians should turn off their brains. That's not what's being said. We're not saying that Christ followers should turn off their brains and ignore wisdom and ignore traditional understanding of things and just ignore common sense. That's not what's being said. It just means that we shouldn't depend on our own. We shouldn't say that my wisdom is the best wisdom and everybody needs to follow my wisdom. Because that is not true. And we see that right here. It means we should not depend on our own wisdom or our own knowledge, our own experience, or the wisdom of just other people or their experience or their knowledge. You see, here's the phrase, wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It means don't be arrogant. Being wise in your own eyes is being arrogant. It's arrogance. Let me share you an example. This is an amazing example. When I read this, I thought, man, that just really is a beautiful picture of being wise in your own eyes. So I'm going to tell you this story. There was this guy traveling, and I don't want to give names because I don't want to, you know, make anyone feel pointed out. So we're just going to call him Abe, okay? This guy, Abe, he's traveling to a pretty intense place, it's a messed up place, right? This place had the reputation of pretty much just doing whatever they wanted to anybody that comes in from outside. Outsiders are not welcome, and if you get in the way, well, then you're not going to survive. Okay, that's the place that Abe is going. He's going there with his family. If you get in the way, then you're not going to survive. That's the reality of the situation. Well, while Abe's traveling, he doesn't want to die. And this is a place that doesn't exactly recognize the sanctity of life, doesn't recognize the sanctity of marriage, doesn't recognize the sanctity of family, right? And so while going there, Abe knew, because Abe's a smart guy, Abe knew that if he shows up to this place, his wife is an amazing woman, okay? His wife is beautiful. And Abe knows if he shows up to this place and people find out that he's married to this woman, then they're going to kill him because they're going to want to get to know his wife. So here's what he does. Abe's a smart guy. So what Abe does is he goes to his wife and he says, hey, honey, would you just don't tell them we're married. Let's just go through. We want to go through. We don't want to make waves. But listen, I know if they know that we're married, they're going to kill me. And I kind of don't want to die. That's Abe's perspective, right? And so they go through, and Abe tells these people, and Abe's wife tells these people that she is, in fact, his sister. Now, guys, just marriage tip 101. Don't tell people that your wife is your sister, okay? Like, let's just put that out there. Wives, if your husband says, tell everybody you're my sister, maybe you need counseling. We'll just leave that. Okay, so anyway, here's the thing. Abe knows that this place he's going is ruthless. Here's the problem, though. God actually sent Abe to this place. Abe is relying on his own wisdom and his own understanding, and he's completely forgotten that God had led him to this place. Abe's a true story. If you haven't figured it out, Abe is a guy named Abraham, found in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham is married to Sarai, and technically speaking, she was his half-sister, so it wasn't 100% a lie. But read Genesis 12, because Abraham was so afraid that he was going to die, even though God sent him there, that Abraham decided he was going to rely on his own wisdom instead of the wisdom of God. That's exactly what this passage is pushing us away from. Don't rely on your own wisdom. Because you see, God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's understanding of the events is far greater than yours. So in this passage, we have this encouragement not to rely on ourselves. We're not supposed to rely on ourselves, on our own intelligence, on our own wisdom. But instead, that we're supposed to focus on God's understanding. Don't rely on my understanding. Instead, focus on God's understanding. Specifically, we see this phrase in the passage. However, a better option to relying on my understanding or my thoughts would be to focus on God's understanding, or more specifically, Scripture's clear teaching. Scripture's clear teaching. You see, the example I shared about Abraham a moment ago, we see a man who had a very clear command from God. Abraham had a very clear command from God, but instead, he decided he wanted to do what he thought was best. How many times do each of us do that? I mean, in reality, maybe we don't have the very clear Billy go to Egypt that Abraham had, but how many times do we have a clear prompting from the Lord or clear teaching in Scripture, but instead we decide that maybe I know a little bit more than God knows? You know, God, I appreciate your perspective, but you don't really understand what I'm going through at work. You don't really understand the circumstances around my issue. So the Lord, you know, thanks for the thoughts, God, but I've got this one on my own. Now, we don't say those things, right? We don't say those words, but how many times do we do that? How many times do we actually rely on ourselves? Likely, if I can be so bold, it's a daily issue for us. Most likely, most of us, including myself, and I mean, I'm speaking for myself, it's a daily issue. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you that every time, there's not a single time that this is not true, every time that I personally, and I'm just speaking about me, I'm not talking about you, but I personally get super stressed about finances or about some particular aspect of my family situation, my house, my job, my whatever it is, every single time I get so stressed about that is because I am not relying on the Lord, and I am, in fact, relying on myself. And that's in regards to my finances. That's in regards to church work and ministry and reaching other people. Every single time that I become unbelievably outside of myself stressed, it's because I am relying on myself, on my wisdom, on my knowledge, on my understanding to get things done. Whenever I decide to trust myself instead of God, then I become excessively unhappy. And maybe you've experienced the same thing. Some particular situation with your kids, your grandkids, your parents, your grandparents, your job, whatever it is, you're just unhappy. And let me just challenge you for a moment. Are you unhappy because the Lord is leading you to do something else, but instead you're relying on your own wisdom, on your own knowledge, on your own understanding, so you can deal with it yourself? Thanks God, but I've got this one. What's amazing is that we have a promise, that we have, in any situation, when we do in fact trust God instead of ourselves, we have been given an amazing promise that we will know what we are supposed to do. When we eliminate God from the equation, when we eliminate God from the situation, we have no clue what to do, and our stress level goes from 1 to like 7,000. But when we rely on God, then that stress level comes way back down. I'm not saying it disappears, because there's always a piece of us that's like, well, just not sure. But when we actually trust in the Lord, then we will have, and I'm saying this because this is in Scripture. This isn't just me, you know, saying things. When we trust in the Lord, then we will have peace. 100% of the time. And I'll tell you that I have attempted to do things on my own way. And again, I'm just talking about myself. I'm sharing some of my circumstance, some of my experiences. But I have attempted to do things my own way. And always they don't work out. Because I'm not as smart as you guys think I am. I'm not as smart as a 5-year-old most of the time. I'll give you an example. See, the last church Beth and I served in, I saw many things that I didn't agree with. Some things were practical, ministry related, just, you know, concepts of how we do things. Other things were a little bit more biblical oriented and understanding of scriptures. But I saw a lot of things I didn't understand with. And during that time, I was learning. I was growing. Even though I didn't agree with the things that were happening at the church that I was serving at, I was still growing in the Lord, and I was still becoming the person that God was creating me to be, and I was learning things, and that was good. But during that time, there came a time that I began to not so much trust God in the situation. And I want to share a little bit of that time. I remember serving there. I remember confronting things that were untrue. I remember confronting sin. I remember confronting biblical, just flat out heresy level things. And I just didn't want to be there anymore. I was struggling. And I remember there was a time that I decided it was time for me to take a job at another place. Well, when I decided it was time for me to take a job at another place, I began working with some various search agencies. I began building my resume, tweaking my resume, doing all kinds of things, and doing things in order to make myself seem better than I was, right? And I remember I sent my resume out. I interviewed with some national mega churches. I interviewed with churches all over the states, including Alaska, which there's no way that was ever going to happen. But I interviewed, and nothing was happening. And I remember in the midst of all of this, I was getting increasingly anxious, increasingly frustrated. And there was one day I was talking to a national headhunter. He's a guy that his job is to help churches find pastors, right? I remember talking to this guy, and God revealed something to me. As I'm talking to this guy, God showed me that I was in fact not trusting him through this situation. That I was trying to take matters into my own hands. That I was trying to deal with it because I'm a smart guy and I know what I'm doing. And so I was going to deal with this. See, at that time, I was looking at becoming an executive pastor. I was looking at becoming an operations pastor, a campus, anything other than becoming a lead pastor. And God revealed to me then that Billy, that's not what I've called you to do. And if you would just stop trusting yourself and start trusting me, I can move you into the direction that I want you to go. And I remember thinking to myself, there is no way that God would ever call me to become a lead pastor. There's no way. Because frankly, I didn't trust God could use me in this role. You see, I put a cap on God. I told God, basically, look, God, you may have good intentions, but I know better because there's no way I can do this. There's no way I should ever be placed in a position like this. You see, my understanding was that there was a limit to what God can do through me. Instead, God's understanding is that there is no limit to what God can do, period. But when I trust myself, my knowledge, my wisdom, my everything, then I'm completely miserable. Then nothing is working. Nothing is moving forward. There's a big difference in me saying, I trust God as long as I don't know better, and saying, I trust God. Full stop. No more to the sentence. I trust God. You see, trust in the Lord is the only way to experience the peace of the Lord. You will not ever experience the peace of the Lord while you are trusting in yourself. This won't happen. And so I'm not trusting in the Lord. If I'm not trusting in the Lord, when I'm not trusting in the Lord, when I'm not trusting instead, when I'm not trusting in myself, then I should be trusting in the Lord. But when I'm not trusting in the Lord, I'm trusting myself, or I'm trusting my friend, or I'm trusting my neighbor, or I'm trusting my boss, I'm trusting a random book, I'm trusting whatever the other stuff is, but I've eliminated the Lord from the process. Because my wisdom is much better than God's wisdom. And if I'm trusting in myself, then I'm not going to be able to acknowledge God's wisdom. Here's the deal. God already knows the end of the story. God already knows the end of the situation. There's nothing that will ever happen. There is nothing that has ever happened that the Lord is unaware of. He knows the end of every single circumstance. You're dealing with issues. I get it. And I don't know the full extent of the things that you personally are processing right now. But I don't have to, because the Lord does. I want to be clear about this. If you're having financial issues, financial struggles, the Lord knows. If you're having marital issues, and that can, especially this time of year, marital issues can increase. Let me make a promise to you. The Lord knows. If you're having issues at work, if you're having issues with family relationships, whether immediate family or extended family, the Lord knows. And if the Lord already knows about the issues, then He also knows how to resolve those issues. You see, my own wisdom, when I'm focused on my own wisdom, when I'm focused on my own knowledge, when I'm focusing on my own understanding, then I'm unable to do what, I'm unable to see what God is doing in the midst of the circumstance. This passage has in view not just our own intelligence, our own knowledge. This passage has in view more than that. hasn't viewed the normal, everyday decisions that we make. Listen, the minute things that we do, am I trusting the Lord in those things? Does the Lord care if my vacuum stopped working? Am I trusting the Lord with a new vacuum or to fix my vacuum or to whatever? Am I trusting the Lord or am I trusting myself and now I'm going to blow up because my vacuum stopped working or my dishwasher stopped working or my car is having problems or whatever the situation is? See, this passage has in view the normal everyday things that you and I go through. Every minute of every day, we have decisions that we have to make. Some are small, some are monumental. Am I trusting the Lord in the big ones? That's an easy question, right? I trust the Lord. Lord, I trust you with my life. But am I trusting the Lord with the little stuff too? And not just our decisions, but even our private vision of right and wrong. Our ideas of this is the right way to do things and this is the wrong way to do things. Am I submitting to the Lord those things as well as the decisions that I have to make? Am I submitting to the Lord everything in my life? Because that's what trust in all things, that's what it means. That there's nothing I'm holding back from the Lord. There's nothing that I'm holding back from submitting. Everything is being submitted to the Lord. And when we're able to do that, when we're able to honestly say, I am striving to make every single thing in my life submitted to the Lord, when we're able to do that, then we have in view God's direction and we're able to experience God's peace through the situations that we may be facing. And then we're able to understand, we're able to see God's guidance. Listen, we all have situations, right? And again, sometimes these are small situations, sometimes these are small circumstances, and sometimes these are massive things, right? But we all have things. And many times we pray and we say something like, God, give me wisdom. God, give me guidance in X situation. God, lead me in X situation. And we may pray that prayer, but unless we're actually willing to listen to that guidance, then we're not actually putting in submission. We're not actually putting our circumstance into the Lord's submission. And what I want to say, what I want to encourage you with, is that God's guidance is a map to life. God's guidance is a map to life. It's a map to our circumstances. Let me choose an example. I'm having strife with my family, with my son, with my grandson, with my wife, with my parents, whatever it is. I'm having strife with my family, and I don't know how to get out of that. I don't know how to bring about any kind of resolution. Well, am I actually listening to God's guidance? Am I actually submitting the situation to the Lord and relying on the Lord's guidance? Or am I hanging on to it myself? God's guidance is a map to our circumstances. Listen, every day, not every day, a lot of days, I will use Google Maps on my phone. I don't know if anybody else does that. Maybe some of you that are sick use Apple Maps. I don't know. But the Maps app on the phone is fantastic, right? Because it will literally tell you where to turn. Like my map will say, in 500 feet, turn right. Like, it is that detailed. Sometimes to the point it gets mad at me because I don't turn, and then it's like, didn't you listen to what I said, you buffoon? But I'm not sure if that's the Maps or if that's Beth. But either way, something is happening. But just like I rely on Google Maps to get me anywhere I'm trying to go, anywhere that I need to go that I've not been to before, I rely on Google Maps to tell me the best way to get there. Just like I do that. Am I willing to rely on the Lord for every situation in my life? Now let me go even a little bit further. You know, sometimes I will know exactly where I'm going. But I'm still going to open up. For instance, this afternoon I'm going to pick up Colin for Thanksgiving. He's going to be with us for the week of Thanksgiving. I'm going to enter into Google Maps Wheaton College. I know where the college is, but I want to make sure I get there the best way. So even if I've already dealt with a situation similar to this, am I willing to put this situation in submission to the Lord, to trust the Lord, to guide me in the very next step? Even if I've been here before, even if I've read this before, even if I've experienced this before, am I willing to again and again and again put this in the Lord's submission? Now earlier, I talked about stress and anxiety in our lives, and we all experience that, right? I think we can be honest, and we've all experienced some various levels of stress and anxiety. And I mentioned about how when we rely on ourselves, when we rely on my knowledge, on my wisdom, on my understanding, then I will experience higher levels of stress and anxiety. It's just going to happen that way. The reality is that sometimes stress and anxiety can also lead to real life health issues. I know in my life, there was a time a few years ago, maybe it was 6 or 7 years ago, I don't remember exactly. There was a time when I'm 42, so this was like mid to late 30s. There was a time that I had a heart attack scare. I thought I was having a heart attack. I thought it was horrible things were happening. And the reason is because I had in view my understanding, my wisdom, my knowledge, the way that I knew things needed to be. And so my levels of stress, my levels of anxiety were far beyond what they should have been. I was essentially leaving God out of the decision-making process in my life, which causes stress. Now, I want to be very clear. I was in the middle of seminary, which is grad school for pastors, people going into ministry. I was in the middle of doing that. I was serving in a church full-time. I was raising our kids. I was doing all of the work. I knew the things that needed to be done from a biblical perspective. I knew a lot about Scripture, right? And I don't think any of us can actually say we know everything about Scripture. It's just not true. But I had in view the things that the Lord was leading me to do, but the thing is, I decided that I could deal with it. I had this idea of, thanks for your input, God, but I've got this. And because that was my perspective, my anxiety, my stress rose from 1 to 7,000, and I ended up in the ER twice, thinking something horrible was happening. And all it was, in reality, was me not trusting the Lord. Now, does that mean that every heart attack is not trusting the Lord? No, absolutely not. But I am saying that it can lead to that. That our level of rejection of the Lord can lead to real life physical situations. Now, there's an amazing promise that we read in this passage, and I just want to bring this to your attention. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8, it says, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This is pretty clear. When we trust the Lord, then we will begin to see physical healing of the issues that were caused by our lack of trust in the Lord. Let me say that again. When we trust in the Lord, we will begin to see physical healing of the issues that were caused by my lack of trust in the Lord. Does that mean that when we trust in the Lord, we are physically healed of everything because that's what God wants? That's not what I said. I said when we trust in the Lord, the issues that were brought on by my not trusting the Lord begin to go away. Those begin to dissipate. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that when you trust the Lord, all physical illness goes away. That's not what's being said here. I am saying that when we trust the Lord, our physical illness that is caused by my lack of trust in the Lord will go away. And the reason is because that stress level that was at 7,000 causing me what I thought was a heart attack suddenly comes down to zero because I'm actually trusting the Lord. Which means now I don't feel like I'm having some heart attack. That is the promise that is being made here. It doesn't mean all health issues are dealt with. It doesn't mean everything. This is not a health and, you know, if you're a Christian, you're healthy kind of situation. That's not what's being said here. But the promise is for those issues that are caused by our lack of trust, those issues that are caused by my own pride, those are the things that will begin to dissipate. Those are the things that will begin to go away. So, what areas are we called to trust God in? Every area. And if I'm called to trust God in every area and every circumstance and every situation that I'm in, then that also relates to our resources. Whether that's time, financial, skills, whatever it is, it also relates to our decisions of how to use our resources. Am I using my resources to be pleasing to the Lord, to sacrifice the Lord, or am I using my resources to build up my knowledge, my understanding, so that I don't have to rely on the Lord? When we're called to trust in God, then we're called to trust for everything. Let me be clear for a moment. Let me just say this. God has gifted every single person here, every single person joining us online, God has gifted you with an opportunity, with a skill, with a gift. God has gifted you with resources that are called for His glory, that were given to you for His glory. God has gifted you specifically with something, and I don't know what that is, but God has gifted you with something that He's called you to use for His glory. So let me ask you a question as we kind of come to a close. If I'm supposed to trust God with everything, am I trusting God with my resources? Am I trusting God with my resources? This morning, as we draw to a close, I want to encourage you to be honest with God about your level of trust. About your personal, your situation, your circumstances, your resources, your everything. I want you to be honest with God about your level of trust. In other words, I want you to take a moment. I want you to take a moment and I want you to pray as we pray. And I want you to ask God to reveal to you, to show you, to bring to your mind any areas where you are not actively trusting Him, but instead you're trusting yourself. I want you to do that. And this can be scary and this can be hard. But I want you personally, this is you and God. This isn't you and your spouse. This isn't you and the church. This is you and God saying, God, is there any area in my life that I'm not trusting you with? And if there is, whatever that area is, I want to challenge you to trust God with that area. To make a decision, to make a commitment to the Lord, to say, Lord, I wasn't trusting you with my family, but today I'm making the decision that I'm going to trust you with my family, Lord. I wasn't trusting you with my job, I wasn't trusting you with my finances, I wasn't trusting you with my car. But Lord, today, right now, I'm making the decision that I'm going to trust you with this thing, with this situation, with this circumstance. Listen, that can be hard because here's the reality. That means taking that secondary brake pedal out of the car. Remember last week I talked about having, when I went through driver's ed, they had that second brake pedal. That means removing that. And 100%. Being okay with wherever God takes you, with whatever God takes you through, 100%. And when I say any area, I mean any area. This morning as I pray, I want to encourage you, I want to ask you to start that conversation with the Lord, to acknowledge to the Lord that you personally have a desire to grow in your reliance on Him. Because here's the reality, and let me just say this. Every single person in this room, every single person joining us online, has an area that we need to trust God in. Every single one of us, we have an area that maybe we're holding on a little bit too tight. And we need to say, Lord, I'm giving this situation to you. I'm giving this circumstance to you. I was taught something by my parents really young. This was a fascinating thing to me. Every time they would get a car, we would have a prayer meeting. Now, I'm a kid, right? I'm like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years old when I'm seeing these types of things. So I'm kind of confused, but it's incredibly profound. But we would have a prayer meeting around that car, and this would be the conversation. We weren't rich, let me just be clear. The cars that we got were typically like leftovers that somebody else gave to us because it was about to break down. And we would sit around that car, and my parents would lead us in prayer that would say, Lord, thank you for this car. Right now, this is your car. Do whatever with it as you see fit. Thank you for trusting it with us, Lord. Now we're giving it back to you, and we're going to rely on you 100% for this car. And if it breaks down tomorrow, and if it's stolen tomorrow, that's okay, because you're in control. That's the level of trust that I'm going to encourage us all to reach in every circumstance. Lord, thank you for this family. I love my family. I love my kids. I love my wife. Lord, thank you for this family, but I'm going to trust you with my family. And if they're gone tomorrow, then Lord, I trust you. That's hard. But that's what it means to trust in all things. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for challenging us. Thank you for showing us that your word offers us tremendous promises, Lord. That the biggest promise that we have is that we don't have to rely on our own knowledge, on our own understanding, on our own limited perspective, but instead we can rely on you, the one that has never failed, the one that knows everything, the one that knows how to get out of the situation that we're in, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to rely on you and to follow you. In your name we pray.